Turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. One of the greatest verses in the Bible, along with all the rest. Philippians 4, verse 8. I'll read the whole thing. They hold together, but there's distinctives, and I'm getting every one of them individually. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And we are on the honorable one today. Let's pray. Lord, we do honor our fathers. We honor people that you honor. Lord, your plan for the family. And not all fathers meet the standard. Lord, none of us meet your level. But Lord, there is honor that people are worthy of for the place you put them in this world. And so, Lord, may we be those who seek what is honorable, because we, Lord, live in a world where dishonor is the number one pursuit, and that people seek to be a new way of dishonorable as much as they can, because, Lord, of the blindness and shame of sin. Help us to focus on this and be encouraged in Jesus' name. Amen. We've had a recent run on holidays of honor. Things that we really can be proud of. Not the pride thing that we got going on in June and July, August, September, October, November, December, then January, February, March. We're proud when we honor that which God honors. We had Memorial Day, where we remembered and gave honor to fallen soldiers. They are worthy of honor. 10 days ago, we honored the soldiers who fought it on D-Day. 80 years ago, they also are worthy of honor. In May, we celebrate our wonderful mothers on Mother's Day, also worthy of honor. Today, we celebrate Father's Day in honor of the impact our fathers have made on us. The expected response to honor is pride, not that other pride. True pride and honor comes from God, we'll see. Praise and thankfulness. Somebody burns your house down, you do not thank them, for the simple reason it is not honorable. You go shopping, park your car at the mall, come out, all your tires are gone. You don't thank them for stealing your tires. It is not honorable. A child is eager for parents to see their report card if it's straight A's. And so they will be proud. Remember when Opie got the wrong report card that time on Andy Griffith? And Andy bought him a bike, but it wasn't his report card. He didn't get straight A's. Somebody else did. But he was happy for a while. We love that. If we have something to boast about, to be proud of. When I had a good round of golf and I played in high school golf matches, I couldn't wait to tell my dad. When I had a bad round, I tried to sneak in around and not see him. That's the expected way. Dishonor brings the opposite reactions, shame and disgrace. And you know, there's not enough of that. People say shame is bad. Shame is not bad if you should be ashamed. One of the problems we see in our day is that people are not ashamed when they should be ashamed. And because they're not ashamed, they don't have disgrace, they continue to go on with things that are shameful and disgraceful. But if you are dishonorable, then shame and disgrace is part of that. The most natural impulse amid dishonor is to hide because we're ashamed. Our society has sought to redefine shame and honor. That shame is honorable, but it can't do that. Not right, not really. Because that is governed by God. How many of you ever gone to the DMV, get your license renewed, or some title for your car? and you leave the house with everything that they said you had to bring. And you get there, and that one thing that you did not bring, they will not waive that. My dad said one time he took everything, went and looked at everything they had, and he went there, and that one thing was not there, and he had to go back and find it and get it and bring it back. Because the DMV is unyielding to that. So people can define, people can change, people can believe, people can fantasize, but it's not going to make any difference when they stand before God. Dwelling on the truly honorable is like a fresh, cool breeze to the human spirit. And today, as we see, it is commanded of us. Now, the devil has a different plan. The devil wants Christians to lose their minds like the world has. When it comes to misplaced minds, the devil is king for that. Get you to put your mind away, and that's it. Somebody said, you know, have you ever stopped to think and forget to start again? Well, that's the world. It's gone. So the devil wants us to be just as deceived and defeated as the world, and he really wants that more for us. He'd be more likely to want an unbeliever to have fun, even though they're deceived. But he wants really Christians to be deceived and defeated, to have anxiety. To have anxiety eat us up like it does the world that is without Jesus. But we don't have to allow that. In fact, we're told not to. Peace of God, as we see in verses 6 and 7, verse 7 especially, the peace of God surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We have that from the Lord by laying our burdens upon Him and making request of Him. But it requires us to manage the content of our minds properly. Now, there is outside, you can't see them, but I'll tell you they're there, and you know they're there. There's an army of dust and dirt out there. You get a new car, it's nice and clean. The army of dust and dirt knows exactly where your car is at all times. When you open the door, they rush in. Your house, right in. Constant attacks from dirt and dust. If you want to keep things clean, not only have to clean the dust out, you have to do everything you can to keep it from coming in. To whatever degree that's possible. Our minds, much more important to keep clean. And this is prescription to do that. Let's look first of all at the nature of perversion. And I bring this up here because all of these things that we are told to dwell on have opposites that are thrust upon us in the world and in our core nature as sinners. These are a return to the opposite of perversion. Perversion is a very simple word. Perversion means you're going the opposite way, really. Or you're doing something the wrong way. Trying to cut wood, Mike, without starting the chainsaw. Just hack it with a chainsaw. That would be perverted. So you see, perversion is the opposite of these traits we have here. And as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, they entered into a perverse course. Let's just start at the beginning. Rather than obeying God, they disobeyed God. And they started in sin. When I was young and learning how to dress myself for school, the biggest thing for me was to get your clothes on without the inside being on the outside. My mom would say, you know, your shirt's on inside out. Well, that can't be. That's perverse. So I'd have to get it on right. They sought to cover their sin with fig leaves. I've seen fig leaves. That's just not going to do it. They try that, Genesis tells us. And when they heard the sound of the Lord, they hid themselves. Now, they're made to know God, and they had fellowship with God and loved the Lord and had a wonderful time with the Lord. And now he comes into the garden, and they hide themselves. That's perverse. It's not what we're made for. And that's the core nature of perversion, to go in the way we should not go. And the worst kinds, what we have in modern society, where you believe that perversion is proper, the way to be. We've never had any of our children here, or young people, complain about candy being here to be picked up. None have ever come to me, "Pastor, could you please get that stopped? We don't need all that candy." No, you don't complain about that, because that is a good thing. It's perversion more to say we can't have candy in this place. So it's good for us. The core nature of perversion is what is not good for us. It's how we have not been made to live. And it follows that all manner of life outside the will of God is perversion. Peter, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, said that we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And that is exactly, that was the case then. That perversion that we have was often, and we said it, if you flip back in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world." Did you know, did you notice that our nation, our world, our generation is crooked and perverse? In other words, are you alive? Surely we see it. When men have sex with men and women with women, that's perversion. It's a perversion because God is against it. When justice is denied and twisted toward others, it is perversion. It's a perversion of justice. And perversion takes over depraved minds. And to people who are perverse, it becomes sane. I think it was California, of course. They have decided to remove signs that say, "No U-turn." And of course you know why. It's because they're homophobic. The signs that say "no U-turn," you know, where the highway department doesn't want you to do a U-turn here because it's dangerous, because of traffic or something. No, you can't do that anymore. They're taking the signs down because that is against homosexuals. That's what's the first thing you thought of, right? When you're out driving, it says "no U-turn." Says, what are they talking about homosexuals again for? It's an instruction for driving. So you see what happens is, when you go perverse, they say alcohol will destroy brain cells. Every drink, we were told that in school. Every drink destroys brain cells. Well, perversion does a whole lot more than that, because people will go, it's just absolutely crazy. And perversion is determined by the will of God. Obviously, people don't understand it. I also saw that it's racist if you like it quiet. Do you like a quiet time? Do you like it when it's quiet? That's racism. Of course, everything is, we're told. But the acceptance of perversion is based on a loss of the fear of God. When you lose the fear of God, your direction is altered. You shift from absolute standards to relative standards. An absolute standard is you get, let's say you get $100 an hour. That's good. That's nice. You get $100 an hour, that's the agreed upon price that you'll be paid for your employment. And then they decide to make it relative. And relative means that they can change it to $20 an hour at a whim. This is what happens when people don't fear the Lord. They change God's standards to the standards of men. They go from God to man. That's what identity is. It's what I like. I identify as a Vulcan, somebody will say. You know, live long and prosper. So that becomes the standard. But that's a relative standard. The absolute standard is from the Lord. And so there's a shift from righteousness to wickedness. Because if you vary from the absolute standard of God, what you do in perversion is wicked. It's destructive. It's wrong. And so all of these characteristics here that we see in this verse, verse 8, are the opposite of what is right. It is garbage in, garbage out for our world. There's a strong opposing force in our society toward wickedness. Everything you do, our children have to watch it. They get it on their phones. They get it in society. We have to watch it. The TV, movies. It's all around us. The dirt and dust mob is even not anything compared to the mob of wickedness. We're to keep our hearts with all diligence, according to Proverbs 4:23, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep that right. And 1 Peter 1:13, the older versions talk about gird up the loins of your mind. Protect yourself from injury. Protect yourself from assault. The world has become pretty comfortable with asking the government or some other entity to protect them. But, I mean, you get some help from people. We appreciate what the police do. But, you know, you can't, the police will be 10 minutes getting to your house at best. So somebody's knocking on the door, you can't call time out if they're a bad person. We have to gird up the loins of our minds. Our minds have to be protected from this world. Everything this world throws at us, if we could see it, should bounce right off. Fall to the ground, and we can step on it. Because if you don't, the devil will be driving your car instead of you. And we're to drive our own lives in the fear of the Lord. So, secondly, grasping what is honorable. Honorable means worthy, respectable, good, noble, and dignified. And again, this is from the perspective of God. Don't care what other people think is dignified or respectable. What God is. You'll note that these are all consistent with each other. If you read through there, all of those things that are mentioned, although they're different, are totally in line with all the others. Failure on any one of these other attributes will be dishonorable. So if you fail to dwell on what is true, then that would not be honorable. Or what is right, or what is pure, or what is lovely. These all are a package deal, just different distinctives of each individual thing, all pretty in themselves, but also as a group. And so dwelling on these things is honorable, like drinking clean, cool spring water. We had spring water in the mountains. You probably have some around here too. Cool spring water. It's refreshing. You see, this is what it's about. You are hot and tired, and you've been doing something, and you are just thirsty. And what do? Mom, do you have any vinegar I could drink? It kind of curls your mouth up even without tasting it. But the cool, clean, clear water. This is what dwelling on the honorable is like. We're encouraged by biographies of honorable people. That's something, in addition to the Bible, that you young people could do during the summer. You read some biographies of Christians, missionaries. Things to cleanse our mind, encourage our hearts. The story of David Brainerd that Jonathan Edwards penned and gave a report on as well. And Dr. Belcher's done a concert here with Beverly before. That has launched innumerable missionaries. The life of David Brainerd, his devotion, his sacrifice for the cause of Christ. Our hearts and minds must be constantly directed, steered to be honored. If you let your mind drift off, it drifts somewhere it's not probably going to be as honorable. This is worship. I've told you before, worship used to be spelled worth-ship, worth-ship. It was, we're telling God his worth. We're repeating to God his attributes. We're exalting the Lord in his being, in his nature, in his will. Remember how vexed Lot became when he was living in Sodom. How could you not be vexed? That's exactly the intention of all these pride celebrations, by the way, to get you vexed. And Lot was vexed, and he lost his way. His wife was so vexed, she didn't want to leave the town and got turned into a pillar of salt. His daughters were so vexed. Well, you know what they did? This is the intention of all these things that people are focusing upon. It's not to honor these people, not directly. It's directly to vex our spirits. A boat without power will drift with the current. And if we find and dwell on the honorable, we'll be inspired. We'll have backbone. We'll have firmness. So we're to grasp that which is worthy, respectable, good, noble, dignified in the eyes of the Lord. It's just like good food. Finally, the ring of honor. The Lord himself is our first focus of honor. If you look at Exodus chapter 14, all honor begins, and people who are going to do honorable things, it begins with the Lord. Exodus 14, 17, as for me, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I am honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Lord seeks his own honor because it's right. Jesus, we're told in Matthew 13, was not honored in his hometown. He said, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown. People get used to you. People get familiar with you. You go home and they say, wait a minute, we know you. We know you growing up. You little scallywag. What are you telling us about the Lord for? We know you. But honor is proper. And Jesus said it was not lacking except in a person's hometown. The world dwells on superstition in order to pursue what they consider to be honorable. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God, nor give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see what's going on there. They had a chance for enlightenment, but they turned against that, and so they were darkened. That's perversion. professing to be wise, they became fools. And again, that's exactly what happens today. People are wise. Why? Because they believe these crazy things and perverse things. And exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged a natural function for that which is unnatural. In the same way, also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. You know what the Bible answer to homosexuality is? The reason it is because God has given over rebels to their own passions. And it's dishonorable. Oh, but we love each other. It's dishonorable in the eyes of God. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God, verse 28, any longer, God gave them over to depraved mind. You see, their mind's gone now. To do those things that are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also have hearty approval to those who practice them. That's exactly what like we have today. Just a little leak in the dam, and now it's a flood. Because people did not have the sense to honor God. God is worthy of the greatest honor. Revelation 4, verse 8. You see these scenes in heaven. Revelation 4, 8, the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come." And when the living creatures gave honor and glory and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." Glory is to God. The highest, glory to God in the highest. Revelation 5:11, I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. That's quite the scene. Our number one dwelling on honor is to dwell on God. We get away from that, we're dwelling on substandard things. Secondly, we're to honor fathers and mothers. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honoring fathers and mothers means that, you know, we give them the respect they deserve and the authority, we submit to their authority as our parents when we're children. And they're always to be honored. Instead, these days, you've got school system who want to hide things from the parents because they're afraid if the parents know, they won't be able to transition and groom their children. Marriage. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all, the marriage bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Fornication is sex outside of marriage. Adultery is sex in marriage with someone you're not married to. God will judge that, as opposed to today where people honor that. But marriage is to be honored. Husbands, 1 Timothy 3:7 says, should honor their wives. Kind of obvious. 1 Peter 3:7. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. And I'm hoping, men, that you have a woman who, if you love this way, as someone who is weaker because she's a woman, won't get all uppity about you saying that. You know, feminists have got where you can't even open the door for a woman. But this is from the Lord. Honor your wives as weaker vessels. They are weaker in their nature and their emotions and various things. Although I've seen some women that could throw a man a couple of feet. But in their insides, they are given, and we're to honor them. Elders are to mention in 1 Timothy 5:7, worthy of double honor. That's more of a money thing. But we're told in Hebrews 13, they're to be honored by hearing them and following them. So this is our task, to dwell on what is honorable. What is respectful in the eyes of God? What is pure and decent? Forget what the world honors. The world honors the dishonorable. Our world is like the night sky. Mostly, it's black darkness, but there are pinpricks of light called stars. And the honorable are those lights standing out in the darkness. And whenever we look at the night sky, that's really what we're looking at. We're looking at the stars, the lights there. Well, there's an occasional moon and a planet, but it's stars, the light part. Staring at the black part, it's not that interesting. But the night sky, we focus on the light. So too, we must focus and dwell on the honorable. Dwell on these things. Let's pray. Lord, really, we shouldn't have to be told this. In a lot of ways, it should be obvious that we should not think of the way the world thinks. Honor what the world honors. Become dishonorable as the world is. The Lord has commanded of us, we have to keep out the nasties and fill our lives with what is pure and right and honorable. Lord, may you bless that. Encourage your people, their minds and hearts, be dwelling on these things and on what is honorable, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.